pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the privilege of being in this place that you've dedicated and given to us to use. At this time, Lord, assembling together to hear your word, we pray, Father, that this word being corrected will correct our thoughts, especially our minds, Lord, that we may know upon what to think, because we've been admonished to think upon right things. And this word, Lord, correctly explained to us will be the right thing to think upon. This will be the word to guide us and lead us, to wash us, as it were, even from the things of the world, and to give us our armor, whatever we have need of. So, Lord, we covet the understanding of your word, the help, even as your prophet said that it was the gift of wisdom into the church, to place the church, to let her know her position, where she is and all, is greater than any gift given to the healing of the body, which we know that is true. So, Father, we just thank you for the great gift you've given us, the gift of the Holy Spirit in this hour, whereby we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Help us to know them in a way we've not known them previously, to know you, whom to know right is life eternal, according to Scripture. We will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I think this is a message number 23, and we're up to about page 71, in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. And in the presentation of this three-division message, which divisions are number one, revelation, number two, preeminence, and number three, restoration, it's very evident that you really understand what is said, that, and to once we understand what is said, that's the most important thing, to understand what's said. It's not too hard to see that the prophet is responsible for all three. Now, it may sound a little difficult there, but yet it is very true that you cannot separate the prophet from any of the three divisions, even the restoration back to Eden, which you would almost feel would be exclusively in the hands of God apart from the prophet, once the prophet has done his work. But that's not so. All three divisions, those major divisions, rest entirely upon a prophet, and I say rest entirely upon a prophet in the sense that God has desired to do that. If it weren't the sovereign will of God, then of course it would not be done. But seeing it's a sovereign will of God, then all these three rest entirely upon the prophet in order that this may come to pass. All right, we can see that, I think, particularly epitomized, before we take other scripture to show it, in John 14 and 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now, you notice there are two things attributed there, and that is the works that were done by the words of Jesus were done by the Father, and the words that were spoken by Jesus were the words that God gave him, or the Father gave him, Jesus, to speak. And this is exactly what we have with a prophet. It cannot be any other way. Otherwise, the person would not be a prophet. And remember that Jesus was the great prophet. As I said on Wednesday night, it is so easy for people to speak of Jesus as the Lamb of God, the high priest, intercessor, mediator, and bypass the fact that he was a prophet. And yet that's the very thing that he was supposed to be, to the people. Now, we understand in the garden, God said, he's the seed of the woman, which is going to bring to nothing the work of the enemy and bruise the serpent's head. That's all very true. But you'll find that the outworking of that came by way of prophets, and all that was in the prophets was gathered up in the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything that was said concerning him to that point, and even beyond that point, was said by prophets, and he fulfilled what was said by prophets concerning him and opened the door for he himself to fulfill all else that was not yet fulfilled. Then Paul came along, a prophet like unto Moses, with a pillar of fire, God appearing in a visible form to him, speaking face to face, and he laid down other things which would follow, being an amplification of what was already said, or the word magnified. Then John received a revelation from another prophet. God sent, as the book of Revelation said, I've sent my messenger to John. And the messenger was a prophet. Now, and that was all in vision. Now, these things are a little bit hard for the human mind to understand, but I can tell you one thing. You'll get great peace by just believing it.
Now, if you try to figure it out and try to categorize it so it would fit in with what you think should be the way, I've got news for you. You're going to have problems. And it's hard for you even to take some things that I say until you get to the place where you can begin to absorb them and then utilize them. They become familiar to you. I'd like to open my opening statement was here in the presentation of this three-division message, which divisions are 1, revelation, 2, preeminence, and 3, restoration. It's very evident once you really understand what is being said that the prophet is responsible for all three. Starting in here, showing you what a prophet is like. This is a great prophet. Now, they could not do what this man did, but let me assure you that they had to do in their own order and in their own measure exactly what this man Christ Jesus did. In other words, they couldn't say anything but what God said. Even Balaam, who was truly a prophet but not a true prophet, when Balak said, "Hey, I paid you to curse that bunch." Well, he said, "Hold just a minute. Are you dealing with me or dealing with God? I thought you were dealing with me so I could deal with God and get God you. And I went to God for you. And what happened? He made me bless him. I can only say what God said." And then there was Isaac. Poor old Isaac. He loved Ishmael. He's kind of an earthy old boy, Isaac was. He liked the good garlic stew and the things that Esau could cook up. And he wasn't too fussy about Jacob because Jacob was a mama's boy, so to speak. And so old Esau, Jacob, he goes to his mom and he said, his mother went to him rather. His mother should have known better, but women are pretty tricky, you know. And men are pretty tricky too. But she's pretty tricky. She said, "Now look, what we'll do, we'll just kill a goat here and we'll use the skin of the goat because your brother is so hairy." He must have been hairy. He must have been really hairy. But anyway, she said, "Now we'll get this skin up on your hand. You know how goat skin is. Kid skin is very light and beautiful, you know, like to make gloves out of and shoes and things. And nice, mild. We'll just tape it on your hands. And when your father speaks and you bring the savory stew, I'll help you cook it up because I know that Esau had his own recipe, but I found his recipe up. And we'll just make believe that you're Esau." And so, you know, the old boy was deceived. Now, look, the thing is, he could have said, "Hey, no deceiver's going to get by me." But he knew that God had spoken through him. And he said, "What I said stands. No court of law would allow such embezzlement and deceit." You think God would allow it? You got another thing coming. If you think God's integrity can be impugned by a man, he'll put that man aside so fast and slap him down to show that he's a fake. But Isaac had to say, "That's what God said, and that's what's going to stand." He said, "Well, Father, can't you give me a blessing?" Well, he tuned into God, and God said, "Sure," he said, "give him a lot of good things on earth. That's what he's going to have. But his heaven's not his. He doesn't get the earthly, the portion he's put. Because, you see, one was made in the image of the earth, earthy, and would never be in the image of the heavenly. But you see, you can be born in the image of the earth, earthy, but you can then inherit the image of the heavenly because you got that seed, the predestinated seed. So you see what I'm saying here? This picture concerning Jesus stands as a status quo. When you talk prophet, you better talk prophet. You don't say, "Well, this prophet, he wasn't quite like the other one, and after all, he did make his mistakes." But you see what it was? They sort of got a little efficient as time went on. Hogwash. There is such nonsense. Why, that's the most ridiculous thing under God's high heaven. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21, just a couple of verses here, you know, not too, but it's important just to see this. Then we'll get into some more things. 21:5-8, and he said, "And he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, It is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. And I will give unto them that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, now be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable murderers and whoremonger sorcerers and daughters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now in here, you're looking at the complete restoration, which is Eden, because that was God's government upon earth. And now it's going to go back to God's government upon earth once more, in the great ages to come, a new heavens and a new earth. What I wanted to show you there, that Jesus promised restoration. He most certainly did. But let's just watch this now, how this takes place from the scripture in our day. Okay, now that's what we saw. We saw that the words and the works were of the Father in the Son, and we saw the vision at the end time given to John. I'm going to do all things over again. So here we go. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And I promise you this morning we get into what I want to say down the road here. We're going to hear something so simple, we wonder why we didn't put it together, and yet we did put it together without knowing it was put together. You know. Okay, that sounds silly, doesn't it? But it's not silly, it's the truth. 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, categorically, it does not say that this is to be the voice of the Lord himself. The shout is not said to be the shout of the Lord himself. It says he descends with a shout. And Brother Branham said he does all three in descending. So we know here categorically that this is the voice of the prophet. And let us begin to, now with this here, you are seeing an opening into eternity from time, wherein this is going to put a newborn people into the rapture, which will put them to the wedding supper, 1,000-year millennium, and then into the new heavens and the new earth, right? That's what you're looking at, because this is where it starts, and this is what it's all about, to get this thing on the road. Now, let's go to prove my point Revelation 21 to Matthew 17. The great restoration that's coming. Okay? Matthew 17:11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah shall truly first come and restore all things. So even restoration, utterly dependent upon the prophet. So there isn't going to be any wedding supper, millennium, or New Jerusalem outside of a prophet. Now, right away, I know people say, well, I don't think. Brother Branham and I agree 100%. You and I don't have a think coming. You didn't have a think coming, not one of us here, for generations back, whether we'd be born, what we look like, or anything else. No way, shape, and form. You don't have a thought coming now. John 14 and 12. We were looking at that. 14th chapter, we'll look at it again. And says here, truly, truly I say unto you, he that believeth on me, now he's singular, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now you know, when you're talking about this, you to liken this now to a man coming in the steps of Jesus, doing this, this must line with verse 10, which is the prophet, which the words and the deeds must be categorically founded in and done by God himself in whatever vessel he is choosing. Now, that, of course, positively is over here as Luke 17 and 30, based upon verse 20, demanded by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. And he said, it doesn't come with observation. It'll come and you won't even see it. It's here right now in the midst of you. See? God's kingdom on earth. Now, you know that a kingdom is entirely dependent upon the king. Now, I know many people say, well, no, the king is dependent upon the kingdom. Hogwash. That'd be the stupidest answer under God's high heaven. It's always been proven, he that gets there fustest with the mostest is the guy that wins the battle. Then all you got to do is have a man bigger than the guy on the throne. You push him off, then he's king. So the kingdom has to do with the king. Well, there ain't no kingdom. So let's understand that. Right now you've seen succession of titles and the peaceful, dear old jolly England with their jolly old queen and jolly old kings. What happened in Russia? The jolly old czar got pushed off. Now you got a Gorbachev and a few of these birds that come around. Most of the kings have been deposed. So therefore, in the Bible, speaking of kings, is mostly dictators. But how does a dictator get power? When he gets in, how do you push him off? You got to massacre him, kill him. So you see, when it comes right down, there's always somebody doing something. So you talk about a kingdom, the stress is upon the king. See, like the kingdoms of this world should be the kingdoms of our God. Why? Because he's a strong, tough one. Our God is a warrior. He's a great warrior, a great battler. He's a fighter. Who's going to best him? So what we're looking at then is the kingdom. God's government upon earth. And Jesus was God's government because he was the Logos, the manifestation of the attributes of Godhead. Now, of course, he's a prophet there. Then he says, all right, you're going to look for these days. They are not going to come till the time equivalent to the time of Noah and the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the days of the Son of Man will come back. He says, even thus it shall be when in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. See? Manifestly shown forth positively as to who he is. This is God. Now, let's look over here in 2 Corinthians. The third chapter. And in there we can see what is going to take place at the end time. Now it says in here, concerning Israel, but also concerns us. In verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, unveiled faces, that's what it is, unveiled minds, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now what you're looking in there, you're looking in the mirror of God's Word, and you're seeing the destiny of man. Which, if you're a bride, you believe this message, you're of God, you're looking in there to see where you are. And when you look in there to see yourself, you see your representative, you don't see yourself, you see Christ, and in Him, you see yourself. But you can only see that when the creeds and dogmas are ripped away from your minds. And you're changed to the same image from glory to glory, which glory started with Luther. That was a glory. That's the waters to the ankles from the eastern gate of Ezekiel. Then the waters to the knees were Wesleyans. And then from the knees to the thighs were the Pentecostals. And from that time on it says waters to swim in, which is the complete revealed word of God, and the fullness of the Spirit returned to the church. She bring it to take us over. Okay. Now that's all by the Spirit of God. He's speaking of the Spirit of God doing this. So, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. This ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Now, Paul says that through the mercy of God, a ministry that brings this to pass has been allowed us. And except that we know that this ministry is going to do this, we would come to a place of fainting. Now, this gives you an understanding right here. That this ministry, which is the final message of Laodicea, which is the changed mind, is going to bring you to a place where you're going to wonder, hey, is this it? Your patience will start to run out. And we'll look at this under Christ, the mystery of God revealed, way down above page, I don't know, 85 or something. Way down there yonder. But you'll be tried on this point. But notice what Paul says. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious sight of God. Only a prophet could say that. Only a prophet by manifestation could commend himself to the people. I've got what it takes so you can have what you need. So you can see why I say Brother Branham is related to all of these three divisions. You cannot separate him from it. Now, we showed you how it was. God's going to use a prophet. The prophet gives preeminence to God, which we took up. We'll deal more with it later on. Now, all this is comes to us by Ephesians 1, 17, and Ephesians 3 and 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope is calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance of the saints, which takes you to the exceeding greatness of power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Now that power is going to return to the bride. It will not be in the bride, it'll be to the bride and for the bride. This is resurrection. Jesus does all three in descending. He has the shout, He has the voice, and He has the trumpet which calls us there. In other words, this is the Holy Spirit because it's a spirit. We'll see more of that as we go into this message. Not this morning, perhaps, but later on. It's going to lighten our eyes. It's going to know what the hope is of His calling. And what was hope of His calling? That He was going to get paid back for what He did. And He gets the bride. See, but now there's one thing about it. He said, my soul shall be not. He said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And you're not leaving me without hope. In other words, you're going to see the complete fruit of His own resurrection. Those in the first resurrection, Old Testament bride, New Testament bride. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and you know what his inheritance was his name. Everything else he worked for. And remember, that's exactly what the Gentiles trust in when he makes himself manifest according to Matthew 12. Now, if you're not used to my preaching, this is tough on you. But you're used to my preaching, it should be easy as falling off a log. Because you know all the scripture we're dealing with. So your mind should be just clicking right into gear every time I bring these to your attention. Okay. Out of this comes resurrection rapture. Now, over here in Ephesians, the third chapter, notice what Paul says. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Prisoner to what? Prisoner to the Word. Because, you see, he took up where Eve started the mess. She disbelieved one word, and Adam went along with her. See, he said, anybody adding a word or taking a word, an angel of heaven come down to preach anything other than what I preach, and if I change it, he's accursed, I'm accursed, we're all cursed. Yeah. Now, what's been going on for years is this hybridization of the Word of God and the terrible tragedy of the true revelation of the Word of God not being with the people of God. So at the end time, there has got to be a restorer, and that's got to be an Elijah. And you know that Elijah was 100% stickler for two things. The presence of God, I might say three things. The presence of God, the power of God, and the Word of God. Which was the proper worship. So, all right. This is what we look for at the very end time. Now then. This is the Malachi 4 ministry, and William Branham describes the events where it all started. Now, why do I say this is a Malachi 4 ministry? Because the Word of God says, if I don't send Elijah the prophet, I will come and destroy utterly. Now, remember, that's the exact scene as it was in the days of Abraham and the days of Noah, the destruction. One place it was a spot destruction, the other place it was a worldwide destruction. So there's a spot destruction in the worldwide. And in there, you notice how that God came and he gave his word to the elect so the elect would not perish. God himself was doing it. Now, Brother Branham's statement concerning this is the one I keep reading to you, is Anointed Ones of the End Time. And he said, now I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself, seeing I was preaching this message. I have no more to do with this message than nothing, no more than just the voice. See? Now, that's what you are looking at. But the prophet was absolutely an integral part of these three divisions, and without him, the three divisions would not have come into availability as of this time. Now, in no wise does such thinking and teaching as ours eliminate John 13 and 16, where it says, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than him that sent him. However, the Bible continues the same chapter saying, he that receives whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receives whomsoever I send. Now, this is put in a much more comprehensive way in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. And remember, the Gospels are written for our hour. And you take lessons from what happened to the Pharisees and Sadducees in Israel from them. But you remember, the setting is identical insofar that he cannot change. He would say the same things to us pertinent to this hour. Okay. Verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Now, this then is a continuing prophecy, because they had not gone to the Gentiles at that time, nor were they allowed to go till after Pentecost. Then their ministry ended with the Apostle Paul taking over. But they'll do you up, take no thought of how what you speak. It shall be given you in that same hour what you speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, you know as well as I do that is written as a revelation to come, that could only come through a prophet. If it's written for you and me, then we could only say the same things that a prophet said, so that we would know it's the same Spirit speaking in us. And if we disagree with what a prophet said, then it could not be the same Spirit. Because every church age has a messenger. We're going to start something like under the messenger, which is in the church of Ephesus. he's going to bring a message now. Then at the end it says, it says, he that hath an ear to hear the Spirit says to the churches. So therefore the message comes to the messenger, and then the messenger gives a message to us, and if we are of the same Spirit, we'll say the same things that the messenger says, and you don't need to worry about it, because that Spirit's not going to make a mistake. The elect are not fooled. Brother shall deliver up brother to death. Father the child. The children shall rise against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now you know that's in our day. That wasn't back there like it is now. And you'll be hated for all men for my name's sake, and he that endures the end shall be saved. They persecute in this city, feed another. Verily said, you shall not go into the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now there's your key right there. You'll not have gone into the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now that lets you know right there that that break is, it, there is a break that where Daniel's 70th week gets broken off. Messiah comes and is crucified in the middle. Then from the middle of that till the last 3.5 years, which is being faced down the road, this is your major break. Because to Gentiles, he doesn't break the reed, and he doesn't destroy, quench the burning, the smoking flax. He allows them a restoration, which he did not allow for Israel, because Israel has to turn to Christ. The 144,000 cannot be sealed in except receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. So there's a change there. Now watch. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he is as his master, and the servant is his Lord. Now he's not talking just to the casual people. He's talking to those that bring this message. If they have called the master of Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Now there's your promise right there. At the end time, they will blaspheme the Holy Ghost. They will turn down the prophetic message of the end hour. They'll turn down the people that believe in it. See? Now that's what we're looking at. We don't have to read the rest of it there, because that is sufficient. So, we can clearly see then that Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which we know to be, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of children back to father, lest it come and smite the earth with a curse. It's positively Revelation chapter 10, 1 to 7, where the mighty messenger comes down with the rainbow, which signifies he's the one that's sitting on the throne in Revelation 4 and 5. And he is here in a pillar of fire dealing with the prophet of Revelation 10 and 7. That brings it to pass. So, we do not believe that Brother Branham is God under any set of circumstances. But when you view the scripture of revelation and preeminence or manifestation and restoration, you cannot disannul the fact of the prophet so involved in those three that except for him, God could not and would not carry out his purpose. Not that he could not if he wanted to and change his mind, but he's decided that that's the way it's to go. And that was decided from before the foundation of the world, there was one speck of stardust. Now the Bible said, who can change God's mind? See, who is of a mind to change him? You cannot. You have to go along with the scripture. Now, many people got carried away because the works of God, as in Jesus Christ, were in Brother Branham. Well, they said he's got to be Jesus Christ. Well, how could he be? He can't be. There's no way. He wasn't bearing the nail prints or anything else. And he wasn't incarnation. Although incarnation is not too bad a term if you understand what we believed to be incarnation. Which be God incarnating himself specifically in a prophet in a major way, but he also incarnates himself in us in a minor way. See? Whereas in one place, it is the Spirit of God complete. Holy Ghost, God in the prophets. Whereas in you and I, it is a measure. So therefore, Brother Branham said, as he said so truly, God is his own prophet. See? Then he said, also, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a man, God, but it comes by a prophet. The same one who said that, the token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So you can see then what you're looking at. You're looking at the fact that God cannot operate outside of a prophet until God himself is incarnated in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is now seated on the throne. where the Father, having come on down in a pillar of fire, is working out what he must work out according to a church order and an established pattern whereby he can get the dead out of the ground and change the people here and get them all in the rapture. You say, well, now, I think God might do so-and-so. Your thinking and mine doesn't count one little bit. Nothing is up for grabs. So that you produce something, I produce something. And you watch this as we get in this message this morning. What I'm telling you is very, very important. We do not make William Branham Jesus Christ. Not many stretch of imagination. But the fact of the matter is, he is that representative. The one that God uses so that Brother Branham himself could place himself with Moses and Paul. As he said categorically, see, he's speaking to me on a tape. You can get the tape. See, Lee, we haven't had a prophet that spoke face to face with God like Moses since the time of Paul for 2,000 years till now. Letting you know exactly the stature of this hour. But he did not say for 1 minute, I am the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did say that the prophet was God to the people. And that is exactly true. And I don't think people take that far enough to realize that he actually is God to the people. And to listen to him is just the same as if you were completely spellbound by the pillar of fire. Now, a lot of people say, well, now, I think that's great that Moses had a pillar of fire. And I think that's great that Paul had the pillar of fire. And I believe that's a legitimate picture. That's a good picture. I believe that. Excuse me. That's true. But you know, many people don't really believe it. Because if they did, they'd hang on to every word. See? In other words, you would realize that you don't have to go through that experience to get what you're getting. Neither will you go through that experience to get what you are getting. But you will go through the experience of listening and being obedient to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so we see our prophet, the prisoner of the Lord, giving God the preeminence. That's where he left off on page 70. Now, remember, preeminence is something you and I have to give, revelation we have to get, and we must get in that restoration. See? How is it done? It's done by the method that God has ordained. In other words, the prophet gets from God what we need. And we, getting from him what God wants us to have, we are as fully equipped in getting from him as he is equipped in getting what he got. Because anybody knows a prophet of stature is a tremendous, tremendous person. There is no one in his rank outside of God himself. Just no one in his rank. But you and I get exactly what he got. The complete benefits. So you see, we have our source. God has a source, a conduit all the way down. We, from all the way going up, have a source, which are those conduits. All right. I hope you're catching this because it's really quite simple. Now, he says here, the same thing came through the days of Moses, days of Elijah, days of the prophets, days of Jesus, on down through unto this very hour. The impregnated person with the seed of God, the word in there, manifesting itself, so surrendered to the will of God, that the word of God and the word alone manifests itself in this person to the prisoner, to an individual. He's telling you right here, as Paul was a prisoner, as Jesus was a prisoner, the man, so that William Branham was a complete prisoner to Almighty God, to the word that must be fulfilled in this hour, which could not be fulfilled, which means restoration, until revelation took place. And revelation is based upon what? Credibility or vindication. You understand what I'm saying? You just come on the scene. God never came on this, and look at, God never put a prophet on the scene. Just for the fun of having a prophet. And he wasn't like some of these kooks in this age who tried to make William Branham Jesus Christ. See, now here comes old Moses, the burning bush. We went through this many times. And he said, that's amazing how that bush is burning and not being consumed. What's going on here today? God was attracting his attention. Now, just wasn't anybody that the pillar of fire appeared to. Now, nobody then came to Moses, oh, Moses, you got to be God, you got to be God, you know. You did this and you did that, and you saw the pillar of fire, you got to be God. That's it. You're the Logos. Hogwash. Yet people came to William Branham and tried to make him Logos. He was not the Logos. But he was that which God used in order to present himself to Logos. And to give us the understanding. So therefore, anybody trying to worship him would be more than ridiculous. But notice what he says here. The impregnated person with the seed of God. Now, first of all, there's the seed of God, which we know to be the Word, that's in there to be manifested. Now, he couldn't, the Word, look it, there was a portion that God gave dear brother Paul the Word of God, just like this. And he laid it out there. And he gave John visions and a prophet to tell John concerning the visions, and John laid it out. But Paul himself did not have, at that time, the ability to know the power of the resurrection which lay in the Word, because that wasn't the Word of the hour. The Word of the hour was for Paul, Christ and Him crucified. The Word of this hour is God demonstrated in His resurrection. So William Branham had the Word of the hour for resurrection and restoration and for our change. So therefore, that Word being in him, and him being born to it, what happened? He was impregnated by God to bring forth that Word. Through his own surrendered will to God, manifesting whatever God wanted, showing that he was a prisoner, an individual prisoner to it. Now, that's exactly where Christ was. He said, I hear my Father say, and he said, I do what my Father tells me to do, what I've been seeing. So here you got a predestinated prophet with a predestinated Word to a predestinated hour to manifest itself to catch a predestinated seed. See, that's what you're looking at. William Branham. Now there's where you cannot separate preeminence from the prophet. You say, what is my place? Your place also is to make him preeminent, but not in this respect. You make him preeminent when you believe exactly what the prophet said. You don't take from it. You don't add to it. You don't get your own thinking. You say, that's it, and you obey what's laid out there for you. But the strangest thing in the world, woman types the church. And I think there's women right today, they would sooner go out there and die for Jesus on the street corner, get slaughtered out there with a machete, than take off their stupid slacks and let their hair grow. That's right. That's the truth, and you know it. Because they're going to let you know, bless God. They don't have to do that. They got Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd like them to prove they got it.
Right.
Old lady walked up one day, a guy named Wertheimer or something. He's a converted Jew. She said, brother, I haven't sinned for 30 years. She had a pretty hat on. She looked pretty gorgeous. He picked up a picture of her, poured her head. She got mad. She said, well, you lost your sanctification that time, didn't you, honey? It can be proven pretty soon who you are and what you are.
Amen.
But you can't get a prophet off the Word, because his doesn't go by human foibles and little things about little sanctification, all that kind of jazz. That somebody trumps up.
Amen.
They know. Not some self-righteous thing, so you can't do it. Now let's carefully now. Not saying, my church did this. Now listen, he's saying, let's read again. The impregnated person with the seed of God. That's the prophet with the Word for the hour. The Word in there now is manifesting itself, because he's so surrendered to the will of God and the Word of God that the Word alone manifests itself in this person, that prisoner, that individual. Now I said, you don't get this through a church. My church has nothing to do with it. It's an individual. One person. Now listen, all hell is against this teaching. All hell is against this truth, but it is the truth. What truth? The teaching of one person, carrying the load for everybody. But what they forget, as soon as that man delivers his load, you're on your own, kid, whether you take it or not. The prophet is free, and he's not gun-shy. Don't worry. He doesn't have to be. He's the old herald that jumped on his horse at the king's command. He blasted his bugle outside the gate. He opened the gate, the drawbridge down, made him come in. And he read the scroll, still sitting on his horse, didn't even bother to get off. Whirled around, went out again. You do what you want. That's a proclamation. You do what you want. That's right. That's not a tough saying. That's just truth. Do what you want. You're going to do it anyway. Brother Brand said, sure, he said, God told Amy to go preach it. He knew she was going to go preaching anyway. Where'd he get it from? Because Balaam did the same thing. He knew Balaam was going to go anyway. Go on down. Amy told a lot of truth, just as Amy. I think she was a bit of a cut-up. But I'll tell you what, she preached a sermon on restoration of gifts, and she hit her right in the nose. It was gifts restored, not the Holy Ghost wasn't restored. It was the gifts restored. The gift is a far thing from the thing itself.
Amen.
Just like you and I got a little gift of life. And within that life, there's all kinds of little gifts, manifestations. But if you haven't got the life down inside of you, just anointed by it, doesn't do you much good. All right. Now, Jesus never said, now Peter, you and John and all the rest of the people, you've got the revelation now, the whole church is saved. Now watch how he cuts his back to you and me now. It's to him personally. Now let Billy Branham come. Let Peter give a revelation. Let John give a revelation. Now we say, well, this is it. Our church has got it. We all get it one lump. No, you don't. Individual get it. Individual prophet, individual person. It's a one-to-one consistently. Never beyond that. It was to him personally. I said unto thee, not to them, to thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church. And the word Peter means a stone. Stone means the confessed one or the separated one. All right? He's still talking about himself as a prophet. Now, you listen. Upon a certain stone, upon a certain thing. Now, what's a certain stone, a certain thing? Let's find out. The church called out upon this stone, upon this revelation. So what is a certain thing, a certain stone? It's revelation. What about the revelation? Flesh and blood has never revealed it to you. Has never, can never, will never. But upon this revelation, to the called out group, I'll build my church in them, and all the gates of hell will never be able to withstand it. Didn't say withstand them, it says withstand it. Now, if you've got something that the gates of hell can't lick, and it's in your possession, you don't need to worry about the gates of hell. That's like I keep talking about Rockefeller with the billions of dollars. Well, they're all dead pretty well now, but those that got the billions, light bill comes in for $300, they pay it. They get sued and lose the case $1 million, pay it. Or they don't like it, pay it. They got the money. When you got something that is inexhaustible and omnipotent, you don't have a worry. See, that's what people don't understand about this message. We have in our hand the thing that we need to put us in a rapture. Not one hair of your head shall perish. You're mine. I'll raise you up in the last day. Give unto him eternal life and raise him up in the last day. There it is, the revelation. Not them, but him, an individual. Not a group, an individual. All hell is against it. Now what is he telling you here in plain English? He's telling you the very simple thing that I'm going to coordinate in our thinking this morning. And I trust you'll be as amazed at the simplicity as I am amazed at it, because I've been saying this for years and years, teaching it accurately right down the line, but never put it together. Well, I'm going to put it together for you at this particular time. Discernment of spirits. Now watch and see where the gates of hell is against. It isn't against denominations. The government recognizes that. It isn't. The world recognizes our denominations, all of them. We have the right. Sure, they've got world conferences of denominations every time. Sure. Even poor old South Africa is being pushed against the wall. We ought to keep our nose out of her business. We won't, though. But we got to be self-righteous. Oh, we got to justify ourselves for destroying the Indian, which we're still destroying, by the way. You talk about genocide. Oh, America. Well, we're Americans. Bunch of devils. You watch what God's going to do before it's over. But you just can't do that to the Indians. See, they've lied every time. They've broken every agreement. And that's the Bible said he's against truce breakers. Poor Indian tried to get something taken away every single time. They're doing it in New York right now. Trying to do it out west in Arizona. And Brother Branham said, which is true, we're part of that government. What are we doing to kick up a little bit of sand sometimes against the things they're doing? Now, as long as we've got men like Hall spouting off about, hallelujah, I'm born again. And even the president. Born again by what? I respect the government. I pray for the government. Government, sure I do. Every single day, twice a day. But I know what I'm praying for mercy. But I'm like Brother Brandon. I wouldn't pray for America. God try to save her. I just think of one thing, Lord, do something for them, and they can do something for me. Not get me further down the hole. Be honest with you. I'm not kidding myself. I'm not one of these fine Christians, you know, that people think I'm supposed to be. Swallow everything, go back, and like Moses is supposed to go and pray for Pharaoh. Go ahead and pray for Pharaoh. They prayed for Joe Stalin, too. A girl down in many, before Stalin died down in Birmingham, she tried to convince her to pray for Stalin. I said, what for? Well, if he got saved, it changed the whole world. I said, hogwash, you're trying to tell me. Why don't we tell her to pray for him? I mean, no problem there. Make you feel good to pray for him. At least you did that much, you know. It would help you to say you wouldn't hate him, but what are you going to do for those men? See? Prophet Land already said what communism was. Prophet is right in the scene and people trying to tell you about Stalin, this and that. You see, it's crazy. All right, that's fine. Every denomination, we appreciate that. But that's not what the gates of hell are against. It's the spiritual revelation of Christ being here now. And the next phrase is the key. The same yesterday and today and forever. And that's what they're against. Not that we preach presence, but we preach the fact, as Brother Branham did, before Sodom and Gomorrah. And we put the two together without really realizing we had done the whole thing. And it just struck my mind up in Canada. I said, what am I going to talk to these people in St. Canada? But I talked to them about about the presence up in Toronto. And it suddenly struck me, hey, just a minute, put it all together. And you realize, it's not a matter of him being here. He's always been here in some way, somehow. Because omniscience and omnipotence make him omnipresent by the very virtue. If you can do all things and know all things, you're on the spot right there. But this is where he is the same yesterday and today and forever, and that is the use of God with the prophet. The true understanding of what it's really all about. And if they can't understand that, they're never going to understand anything. And they don't understand it. Finally, they say, well, what it is, it's those guys' spirits. Where have we ever harmed anybody? If you stand for the word of God and take a strong stand, we're supposed to back away. Then listen, then we're giving way to the gates of hell.
Right.
And who's clanging them back and forth? Don't tell me it's anybody but those rascals out there that want to destroy this. And it won't be too long before there'll be a whole lot more muck and mire thrown around too. Because here's the gist of the whole thing. Now, Brother Branham said, now look, there's two things that all hell is against, the gates of hell. He said, that is that God uses a prophet in all of these three. Revelation, preeminence, and restoration. See, now look at it. You said just a minute now. We're supposed to take that all the way to God. Well, God's his own prophet. He always has been, always will be. God's the restorer of the breaches. Always has been, always will be. God always demanded preeminence, and he's the one that does the works. But you notice there's one thing that God demands, and that's the people live up to their own absolute oath to God. God, you use a prophet from now on. God had always used the prophet. But now the people have bound themselves to the reality, we've got to have a prophet. Now this generation has broken the truce. They said no prophet. Do you know in Luther's day they called him a prophet? Sauer's own dictionary, encyclopedia, says Martin Luther was a prophet. I don't think I got it written in this Bible here, but some of my old Bibles is written in there that Luther was called a prophet. He spoke in tongues. Absolutely. They led him to his... I'm going to tell you, before they got finished that guy, he had about everything in the catalog, and I kind of believe he did. But he wasn't a prophet. But he was prophetic in many ways. Perhaps as a minor prophet, one of the fivefold, but he certainly wasn't the great prophet that we're looking at. So what we see here, what are the gates of hell against? What is everything against this today that's going on in this message? Number one, the gates of hell are against the revelation that God is here the same way he has always been here and conducted himself concerning mankind ever since the Garden of Eden. God has had to operate through a man. And then in the days of Moses, they acquiesced to what God was already doing. They said, let us not then have anything to do with the pillar of fire ourselves. Let us not have anything to do with God when it comes to the revelation. To God vindicating himself. To God producing his word. For God correcting and all these things. They said, let us have a prophet. And God says, that's exactly right. They've got their prophet. One person, not two. Then what did Israel do? Korah, Dathan, Abiram rose up against Moses. Balaam rose up against Moses. And God says one person and one person only, and that's Moses. Now listen to me. Moses was such a man of love that when God got mad at Israel for their fornications and their stupidity, their rottenness and vileness. God says, Moses, I've had my stomach full, just like today. I'm nauseated. I want to bring up. I'm through with it. He said, Moses, stand back. I'll kill the whole bunch, and I'll let you make a nation. Why, the man could have got 100 wives that God could have produced for him out there in the Gentiles. He must have had fantastic virility sexually in the whole bit, because he was 120 years of age. He looked through a brass wall just about. He didn't need telescopes to go in the promised land. He could zero in. Man was strong as a bull. That man strong meat, said, Lord, if you destroy them, you destroy me. So God let him go. But listen, the day that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram said, Moses, you're kidding everybody. You're smarting off. Let me tell you something. We're holy and prophets too, and God can speak to us. And he said, Lord, he said, I'll tell you what, Lord. If they're right, he said, kill me. If I'm right, kill them.
Amen. Good. Praise God.
Now, what do you think of a prophet now? Some little sweet little nincompoop? That guy was tough. You think he wasn't? What about Paul? The word of God, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work where I've called them. Then they got a council in Jerusalem, and Barnabas goes up there, and he gets led astray. Paul said, out! You know, I used to quote history all the time. All history said, well, John fussed, it was Paul fussed with John, with Barnabas about John Mark. Because John Mark was a kind of a mama's boy, and he went home. He left the entourage, the missionary journey, and he went home. And Paul said, we can't stand little boys that got to go home to mama. Read your Bible, find out what happened. Barnabas got led astray, and Paul said, out. Why say, now, Barnabas, dear boy. Now, Barnabas, we love you. And the Lord loved you too. And he doesn't mind little circumcision. Because after all, what is it? A little change in the word. What if women wear horse slacks and don't cut their hair? Or put on those shorts. Take their clothes off until they're a spectacle. Sexually. And that's the way they like it. And men like it too. I'm not going to say men don't. Come on, don't be idiots. So now you got the fat in the fire. Men like it, women like it. They always have. And always will. Then God said, I'll just let you fall in your folly. Now you got a bunch of homos, both men and women. Yuck. You talk about a mess pot of ungodly filth. This hour's never has the world been as rotten as this, because they haven't had the 5 billion people. Now they got an intensity. Governments, everything else run by. Oh, well, it's okay. We'll just change this here and change that there. And Moses said, look, they'll die or I'll die. Well, I'm going to ask you one question. Why do you think Jesus died? For your sins and mine? For one word of unbelief. Because he was a lamb crucified before the foundation of the world, and he was spoken of in the Garden of Eden. See, yet people think that he'd get away with it. I want you to see the power of a prophet. And to understand what God is doing. And this is a tragic thing, because when Jesus came on the scene, he fulfilled every single scripture concerning himself. And they couldn't take it because they'd been taught wrong. And there's some of you this morning are having a battle because you've been taught wrong. The best candidates are Methodists who didn't go to church, and Baptists who never went to church, and above all, Catholics who did go to church, and all they heard is a babble in Latin. You didn't have anything to contend with in the first place. You got open minds. And I'm one of the few Pentecostals of the 5 billion people in this earth, and millions of Pentecostals, whose mind has been radically changed around. The rest of them can't do it. Hardly one can do it. The battle always lies there. They can't listen to Brother Branham. There's no way they can hear a vindicated prophet, because a little black book is there. Like Junior Callahan talked to his dad. Shouldn't have mentioned his name, perhaps, but you don't know him anyway. Nobody else knows him. Junior tells the story himself. He tried to show what Brother Branham said. He said, it's in the Bible. He said, forget your Bible, son. I got me a little black book here. I don't think he even knows the man that wrote the book. He was a big Pentecostal, big shot down in Prince Edward Island. Sure doesn't like me because, see, I wrote concerning the serpent seed like Brother Branham never did write, never did preach. But we collaborated, so he knew it was in the book. I did a lot of research for him. And I knew about cellular therapy. I've known it for 20 years, or 50 years or so, almost 50 years. And they said there's no such thing because you got a bunch of fathead doctors who say there isn't, but there is. Cellular therapy has been used for years and years, being used in Europe, but the American doctors don't want it. And what did they send from America over here to Chernobyl with all the trouble over there? They sent over the cells of prenatal animals from Los Angeles, produced in America, that American doctors won't use, that are curing the people in Chernobyl that are dying. You didn't know that, did you? I'm telling you, I got the proof of it. I said, it shows you there's an affinity between animal and man. And look, anybody knows that except a stupid person that thinks he's spiritual. Darwin knew it. Prenatal brain cells will go to your brain. That's right. Deans found this on a woman was inadvertently, literally destroyed by a doctor who cut out the parathyroids accidentally. She went into convulsions, having a terrible time. And Deans said, "Well, my God," he said, "I don't know what I can do. I haven't got time to get a fetus somewhere, so I'll just be able to. What he took the closest to a newborn he could get. I think maybe it might have been a fetus. I'm not sure now. but he didn't have time to use the centrifuge and all the method he could have used. So he just sliced it all real fine, and he gave her what he could. I guess took the juice of it and gave her shots. And she stopped her paroxysms, her convulsions. And he thought, well, this will help her for a while, but she'll die. But she didn't die. And he knew he'd really discovered something. But your American doctors can't have it. So what did this guy do? He went to some MD in Canada. And the guy said, oh, no, it can't be done. He's the same as that guy in the Methodist church over there in Spencerville, Ohio. Because the Jew doctor told him that an osteopath was not the same as an MD plus. An osteopath can do every single thing an MD can. Plus. And they got colleges recognized. But that doctor stood there and that preacher believed it. So Paul said Barnabas out. And Moses said, let them die. I'm not dying. Not this time. I'll die some other way. But not this time. And they died. And fire came in and destroyed them and all their families lest there be a wrong seed in Israel. Oh, yes, the gates of hell are against, and all hell is against, one man being God's emissary, one man that you look to at a juncture time. One man, not two men, not three, not four, not a church, not a presbytery, not a synod, not a consortium of some kind, not a duo, no, a solo. Hell hates it. You think I don't know that? Come on. I've talked to these dear, sweet old men. Say, well, what Brother Branham, so-and-so. Well, Brother Vail, I've got something to do. What have you got? What do you got? Somebody got healed because you prayed? Did you heal him? Well, Brother Vail, I prophesied. I'm going to ask you a question. Well, did your prophecy bring the thing to pass, or was God going to do it anyway and let you in on it? How stupid can we get? How stupid is our thinking? One man. God uses one man, not a group. You can have a complete revelation. I can have one. You can't give it to anybody. You can teach it, and so you should. You should tell it. You should be a missionary, end time evangelist. But you can't give it. There's no way. See? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what does that signify? It signifies that God uses the method and the measure he has always used, which is the prophet. So therefore, Elijah the prophet must come in order to restore. How are you going to restore except there's a revelation and a manifestation that proves the revelation is correct that brings on the restoration? And who's going to do it? God's got to talk to somebody. There's even a breach in the Bible. Close up the book. Seal it. He let Daniel go so far. Seal it. Christ came. He opened the book. He went so far. Sealed it. Who's going to open it? The Lamb brings a book. It says, here. The seals are ripped off. That scene was in heaven. But the scene on earth was the thunders. Then the scene went back and says, seal not the sayings of this book. The prophecy's book for the time is in hand. So therefore, the book is unsealed for the last time and cannot be sealed. And I want to ask you a question. What happens when the book finally is unsealed? Well, you say that's got to be the seven thunders. Anybody knows that. And anybody knows the book's open, there's got to be revelation. I want to ask you a question. Who's going to bring it? One person. That's all. How's it going to be done? Well, how does God ever do anything? Prophet. Now, those are simple statements, axioms. Categorically sound, simple. But you see, it's the simple things that go over everybody's head. They can't get it, like I read here. The gates of hell, what's it against? It is a spiritual revelation of Christ being here now. Now, spiritual revelation doesn't mean, oh, I got a beautiful thought. Very spiritual. I believe he's here. Hogwash. He is here, and you got to know from God that he's here. He doesn't say, here's a little ethereal thing that'll tickle your fancy, honey. Want to think about something sweet? Oh, come on. That he's here now. And the same yesterday and today and forever. That's what it's against. It's against God and his prophet. And those that see or think they see can get it all garbled. But there's a group that can and does see and they don't get it garbled. You can do what you want about it. I know I'm doing what I want about it. I'm standing pat 100% with what Brother Branham said. Before he died, he said, Lee Bale's the only ministry who understands me and my ministry. And I believe it. I don't believe I'm the only one today, not by jugful. But I'm going to stand what he said. And he never was Jesus Christ. When him that night, when with such a spirit so strong in the room in Iowa, up there in Waterloo, Iowa, sounded like he was saying with Jesus Christ. I found out that people in that building were saying he was Jesus Christ. And when I said, Brother Ben, people call you Jesus Christ. You know that? He said, I know that. He said, furthermore, he said, they not only call me Jesus Christ, they'll baptize in my name and strike a medal saying William Branham is Jesus Christ. But I'm not. I said, you certainly are not. I said, I love you. I love you dearly as a brother. But I said, you are not my Lord. You are not Jesus Christ. You did not die for me. You did not live for me. She said, certainly not. That cleared the air. When I knew who was Elijah, it was easy to go to the book and just open the thing up. And I'm not making anything myself. I'm just telling you, I stand on that. I stand on it that if I can see what he saw, right, to the degree I'm entitled to, understanding the way that God does things, I am entitled to the full revelation, understanding it, seeing the preeminence in his life, seeing restoration, and seeing me as a part of it because of him, because he was the channel that God used. Now, gold is a mighty nice substance to have. I wish you all had a lot of it. It's very handy. No problem against people having a lot of gold. But you realize if somebody's got to get the gold out of the ground. Then you got to smelt the stuff up. Then you got to put in ingots or coins, whether you want to put it in. Then you and I can get it, perhaps. But I'm trying to show you. Everything in the light, this light has a source to it and has a medium. And this complex society understands that. So it can't get so simple as to put God in his government where God does a certain thing in a certain way. And he doesn't change it. Now that God should come down like that, have his picture taken over a prophet. That's no different from Mount Sinai. Because it's the same God. It's no different from Moses. From any of the great prophets. Even those who did not confront the pillar of fire, but had visions and heard voices and had dreams. God did it that way. When it comes to the day, Moses, Paul, William Branham. That's a different story, just those three. Now that's Elijah, which was truly to come, which was to restore, and he did restore. Now, but his mystery is only revealed to his beloved bride. That's the only one could see it. Could see what? What the gist is all about. God and his prophet. Like William Branham, I said so many times on Deep Call Deep, said, do you believe me to be God's prophet? Not a prophet of God, not even a prophet from God. Those are true. But the thrust is not there. The thrust is God's prophet, which is in contradistinction to every other prophet that God has, and he could have 100 of them. But the minute that one of those prophets would rise up against that prophet would show he was merely anointed like the Korah, the Dathan, the Abiram, and the Balaam. And the Bible distinctly says that even Jannes and Jambres would repeat as well as Balaam and Korah and Dathan. Listen, you realize what that means? In the time of Moses, there was just one old hotshot Balaam. Just one. to attract your attention, to be out there with his sideshow. Oh, truly anointed of God. Don't mistake me there. His prophecy was genuine. And then you get now to the time, just Korah, Dathan. And you look at the time of Jannes and Jambres, just two of them. One at a time. One at a time. Jannes and Jambres, they had their day out. Balaam had his day out. Korah and Dathan had their day out. Today, we got them all. You don't just have one at a time. You got Jannes and Jambres. You got the Balaam. You got the Korah and Dathan. You got the whole mess. You got the whole mess of false prophets. You got the whole mess of false teachers. So therefore, you got the whole mess of false advances and false apostles and false pastors. The Bible speaks every place. Jeremiah is your false pastor nailed down. All through Scripture, you can see all those men laid out there. So his mystery is only revealed to his beloved bride, and that's the only one could see it. He said, well, did Isaiah speak of you, you hypocrites, you snake in the grass? You go up there and say, oh, great holy prophets, we mark their tombs, we polish them. Now, what is he saying that for? Why did Jesus say that? He said, I stand here as that prophet. Now, you go back and you see all the good things about Moses and Elijah, pardon me, and especially Isaiah, they sawed him asunder with saws, put Jeremiah in prison. Poor old Daniel got in trouble too, over there in Babylon. All the prophets, look at Amos. And you go through the whole Bible. They persecuted the prophets, they chained them, they stoned them, they sawed them asunder, they killed them, imprisoned them, fed them what they call the bread of sorrows. Now, these men standing there, looking at the one that was prophesied of, that was to do the work of his hour, which was redemption, the great one Moses looked up, they looked at him and said, well, look at all these men back there. We know about them, we revere them, we've got their word. Who are you anyway? He said, Moses spoke of me. I'm fulfilling the scripture. Oh, they said, forget it. Kill him. Get him out of the way. Now, what did Jesus say? You're the ones that put them in there. Why did he say they put him in there? They didn't live back there. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. The spirit has gone on and on and on. Now, look at. Let me tell you something. Let me get this across to you. Do you realize there is such a thing as the false church having a plan that it can secretly know and for hundreds of years wait patiently knowing that one day they're going to have what they want? Now, if you don't think the Jews don't understand that and the Roman church doesn't understand it, you don't understand anything. You're just a baby yet. When I was 20 years of age or less, a book fell into my hands by Philip called The Black Pope. He didn't have it all right, but he had this understanding, and he let us know that all through history that church would sit back and wait for its hour. And they've done it, and they're going to do it. And they're going to keep on doing it. But the bride also knows her hour. And today we have discernment and understanding to know which is which and what is what. Now listen, Israel has stood the test of time for 2,000 years waiting to get back, and they're back. And the Roman church has waited for its almost 2,000 years, and pretty soon all the Protestants will be back in them, and already she claims every Protestant that's baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So if you've got that baptism, you better change it, or you're a convert to the Catholic Church and don't even know it. You may protest and say what you want, but I'm going to tell you something, child, you belong to them. You got their doctrine. Baptism, name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing you'll find in the Bible. The prophet said so. See, we don't believe in the prophet there. Well, that's too bad. See, you just lost God's way. All right. Same thing that he would say to the Catholic churches in their day. When they were sent, the prophets of old, the Old Testament before they had Nicaea, and that is, you're talking about the Nicene Council now, where the prophets went up there, roam up there, let those old prophets come out of the wilderness, eating their grubs and things, you know, and like John the Baptist, not even with clothes on, not good clothes, skins wrapped around them. They tried to stand for the truth of the Bible. But what did the church want at that time under Constantine? The church wanted their intellectual conceptions. Catholic Church did, Protestant, same thing. There came St. Irenaeus, Polycarp, Martin, all the rest of them. And what did they do? They put them in the tomb. Just ignored them or killed them or let them die. Put them in the tomb. Joan of Arc, St. Patrick, and the rest of them. They put them in there. Now come back and whiten the walls like they did of Joan of Arc. What did they do? They put them in there. In other words, they killed them. They disregarded anything else. Wouldn't listen. And remember what they did to Joan of Arc. They burned the stake, called her witch. Then 150 years later, they dug up the bones of the priest that did it and threw them in the river. Don't you see what they did, Israel did? Couldn't tell what was going on. And if the world goes on now, it's going to be too late when they wake up to what happened on this earth. Don't think for 1 minute the records aren't here, brothers. This wasn't done in the corner. You think maybe South Africa's got his trouble right now because they literally turned Brother Branham down once they received him? 30,000 converts in one time. Hundreds of thousands of healings. Literally, as far as I know. At least thousands of thousands. They took truckloads of, just one city alone, truckloads and truckloads of crutches and wheelchairs and things. People fall behind. Pardon me, demonstrating the power of God. Do you think the people, maybe they're going through that now because they reject it. They're dead old church. Protestants, not Catholics, Protestants. Don't worry about the Catholics, worry more about the Protestants. Catholic Church may be the biggest church in America, the biggest church in the world, but that doesn't mean a thing. You know, after all, if you had a guy that could lift 800 pounds, you know, what would you care if you had five guys that lift only 500? So I'm trying to show you there that that the Protestant Church, they've got little guys running around and lift a lot of weight. But the Catholic Church is the one that really has the great weight. But you know, as long as you've got something going for you, nobody worries. So you got the Protestants in the same boat the Catholics are because they think we're doing some great thing, and so they just go along. They just go along. Well, we can carry our weight. We can do this. We can do that. But it's not going to count before God. And now listen. William Branham says, "Now I say, as His Spirit calls unto you, whited walls, you hypocrites, calling yourselves something when you take the intellectual conception of man and leave the Word go, instead of becoming impregnated with the seed of God." The Word in you. You've taken every other hybridized seed instead. Now, that's what William Branham said at this hour. You say, I don't think William Branham should have said that. Well, if it's the same Spirit of Christ in this hour working through man was when Jesus was on earth, he has to say it, or he sure couldn't be that prophet. If he's the same stature and caliber of Moses and Paul, there's only one place he can take exception, and that's with the Word, no other place. He doesn't care about anything else. No wonder she sat as a whore. Because she commits spiritual fornication, teaching the people the things of men and not the things of God. But he said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's right. Certainly, there we have it. Then how are you going to get completely restored? By the Word of God. The Bible in Revelation said this great city reigned over all the kings of the earth. She said she was a whore. What is that? A woman that claims to be a lady and commits fornication. She had a cup in her hand of toast to the world. Now, what does it mean she's got a cup in her hand and a toast? It means she's celebrating something, and they're admiring her. She says, she's celebrating. She said, I've got it. Rome controls the gold. Well, if they don't control, they soon will. See? All right? Filled with the filthiness of the abomination of fornication. In other words, wrong doctrines and wrong ways of going. She's got the world endorsement. Right now, America says we're going to channel the money for the people around the world that are in need through the Catholic Church and the Protestants can help. Maybe that's why Reagan went to Rome, to make sure he's going to get a little cut from the Pope or something. I don't know. Well, Pope, I'll take care of you, take care of me. Well, that's what the Bible said. That's the way to do things. If you haven't got God, that's the way to do things. Remember the unjust steward? The defraud, he was careless and all? And he got his master, people owing him money. So the guy that owned 500 gallons of oil, he said, I'll tell you what, he said, write down 150. He said, write down this. And they came by, he held his hand. He said, no, he said, boy, he said, take care of you, take care of me. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I don't know what they're doing. You better believe something like that's going on. And she had daughters, the Protestant churches. And everyone came up with her, out of her, with their same false doctrines, baptism, shaking hands, said the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and false doctrine, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. All of that instead of taking the name of the bridegroom and so forth. You say, that doesn't make any difference. It does. Listen, he said, if I put my name on a check that said the reverend, or minister, or so forth, that won't cash anything. That's right. It's turned down the bank. Notice, all right, but all this mystery is revealed only as he promised to his bride. Hell is against this truth of the revelation of this mystery, but the bride is standing on it. That's her stand. What is that great mystery now? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The presentation of revelation. Preeminence proving it is the correct revelation, knowing this is going to get you back to where you started and should have ended up as a seed of God. Right back to the heart and mind of God, one with Him, right to New Jerusalem. It's going to get you there. Now, I said, nothing else is going to get you there. You see why I cannot condone what many people believe. Brother Branham is going to come back and do this and do that. Sure, you'll come back and do certain things. What it is, don't ask me, and I'm not interested. This is what it's all about. It would be a furtherance of a revelation as Jesus came back from the dead, and he revealed to them the things of the kingdom, if it is necessary. But by that time, I can tell you this, brother, sis, whatever comes by the time that did come out of the world, you better believe the next thing is going to be all in the supernatural, because it's all over. So whatever comes, let it come. I don't understand some things, but this I do know. This is where we stand today. You receive this. Don't look forward tomorrow. Don't worry about the shout, the voice that raises the dead. You worry about the shout. All right. That's your stand. Why do you hunger, church? Why do you thirst? It's the Father trying to reveal this hidden secret to you, but you let, now watch, here's the warning I want to give you. You let so many things get it out of you. You let your job. You let your wife, you let your husband, you let your children, you let the cares of the world, you let some pastor, you let somebody else get that out of you when you know that way down in your heart, you're thirsting, hungry. It's God trying to reveal it to you, the revelation, the last day is here. Now he said, what you're looking for, I'm going to close in saying this. Brother Branham went to Brother Moore's, the man that wrote the Herald of Hope, the best magazine ever written in America for many, many years on the things of the Lord. And all the time his magazine screamed, oh, God, send a prophet. I know because I had him for years. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. And the prophet was right in the man's house. Talk with the man and his wife. The next edition, oh, God, send a prophet. Well, I sent you it, but not that one, Lord. You know, they did the same thing about Jesus. Spiritually speaking, they could not have known if a baloney was growing on their nose. True. Make you laugh, it's okay. You laugh at yourself, too. It's good for you. They didn't know. Brother, they could have bumped into a wall. Which they were bumping into walls. Didn't even know it. It's just like the fellow one day going down the street paying no attention. He bumped the telephone and he began swearing. And he looked, he saw the telephone. He said, oh, excuse me. Yeah, he could cuss the man up, but wouldn't cuss the telephone pole out. And they'll cuss the prophet out and apologize to a church system. They'll turn their back on a prophet with all kinds of terrible expressions of disdain and rejection. And turn right around and embrace the harlot system. The telephone pole. Bumped right into it. Turned down the things of God. Brother Brand said, people are hungry for the Elijah ministry. They're hungry for this thing the same as Brother Moore was. I believe the man's passed on, poor fellow. He might have belonged to another age, I don't know. But I know one thing, brother, sister. It's a pretty strong statement concerning the times. When a man can pray and enlist prayer, literally around the world, oh God, send us a prophet, as Israel cried for a Messiah, and then crucify him. William Branham was not crucified, there was no need for it. Because the Bible said they'll crucify themselves Christ, and Brother Branham was not Christ. Except in a very, very limited sense of the word that he brought that word. See? So they turned down that word. They crucified themselves, the word of God afresh, Christ, and put him out entirely. And that's what they did. And this is what the gates of hell is against. This very basic, purely simple thing. The Elijah ministry. God and his prophet. And that prophet, so inextricably linked to Almighty God, that there could not be revelation based upon preeminence or manifestation, bringing us restoration, except for that. And yet men say, no, I can't take it. They couldn't take one man in Jesus' day. They couldn't take one man in Paul's day. They couldn't take one man in Moses' day. They can never take one man. They can't take him now. Now, I'm standing here and telling you, look, this is where I stand in this pulpit. I cannot tell you how to stand. But I hope you stand 100% and listen to the warning here. Don't let anything get this out of you. Don't let anybody take this from you. I preach now 23 sermons on it to bring you to this, to that thought. Don't let anybody get it out of you. One man, that truth, based upon the knowledge that he is here with his prophet, and it's the same yesterday and today and forever. It hasn't changed, and it's not going to change, that this is it. You're not looking at a pipe dream anymore. You're looking at reality. And if this isn't it, live or die, sink or swim, what do you want anyway? Let's rise. Thy Heavenly Father, we close again today thanking you for the time you had in fellowship, Lord. And I pray, Father, as the thing gets simpler and simpler, we might realize, as never before, how simple it all is. Just like, Father, we realize that if the blood and bulls and goats could look forward to the death and sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, the washing of a pot and pan could absolve people, Lord, to know that they would stand there having believed in that first resurrection. How much more then, Lord, will there be a people who simply under no condition can miss out at this end time where they're going to walk right into immortality, right up to a wedding supper, right up to the new Jerusalem, never having lost one breath or one heartbeat, so to speak, or one wink of the eye, whatever, Lord, not one second of consciousness, not one moment, Lord, but walking right into it, right where you wanted them. And where you want them now. We know this is the most wonderful thing that people could contemplate. And this has been laid out in your way. Help us, Father, to begin to receive your way as never before in order that we may receive the full result of it. Now, Father, we commend every single person that's building unto you and to your care. And, Father, in heaven, I don't believe I said one thing that was remiss, one thing out of line. I don't believe I did. But if I did, Father, I pray you'll give grace to correct and help us so that we might correct anything that's a little bit misunderstood in any way, shape, and form. Because we want the people to help, have all the help they possibly can have, to grow up in the strength of this message for this hour. And, Father, we know it all lies in it because that's where it's got to be. Transformation even lies in it. We believe that, Father, today. We thank you for it. You've showed it unto us, been declared unto us, and we believe it. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. See you then on next Friday.